Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Daniel Perek Yud, the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. It is only 21 psukim long, and we're going to look at it in micro sections with a few points to contemplate as we go through. The first three psukim constitute a really an introduction to this, and we're told that this prophecy or this vision takes place in the third year of Cyrus the Great. He describes how he sees a great host, Tzavo Godol Uvin Esadavar. So he tries to understand this vision of a great host. We're talking about a celestial host, as we're about to see. It describes that Daniel is in the process of a three-week mourning period. Hayesi misabel shloisha shavuim yamim. He is fasting, or is rather mourning, for 3 weeks. He did not eat lechem chabudois, special purified bread. He didn't eat meat or drink wine. And he does not anoint himself. So all expressions of full-blown avelos for these 3 weeks. Why is he mourning? So Yosef ibn Yechia, Rav ibn Yechia, explains that it is in order to prepare for the vision which he is embarking upon. He wants to get closeness to God. He wants to have a vision of what's happening. In order to get there, he needs to prepare himself in a requisite way, which means diminishing the sensory activities, diminishing indulgences in this world in order to be able to access that. The Mitzvot David says, perhaps it's not about the preparation, but it's looking back. It could be that he's responding to the annulment of the building order given by Cyrus. As we will see when we get to Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, Cyrus the Great, the king of Persia, will allow the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, but it will shortly be stopped because of political agitation of the locals. When that gets stopped, what Daniel is perhaps mourning on is, why was it that the Beis HaMikdash, which was so close to being built, was withheld? It could be that he had another vision of negativity, which we're not aware of, that he'd seen some sort of vision that indicated something negative was about to happen. Or it could be that it's just the goddess, the exile, is going on so long that he feels he needs to do something. Obviously, he takes it deeply to heart. It is also interesting that Rashi points out that it could be an annual or continual fast for 21 years, not 21 days. Whether that means, say, fasting annually on a particular day or period in the year, or it's some degree of abstinence that's going on, not fasting, but rather a mourning period, which goes on for 21 years, because if you remember, there's a 19-year gap between the end of the Persian Empire, and there's Darius the Mede, and then there's the rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, and a wait of 18 years. So roughly 21 years, all in total, from beginning to end, of this period of waiting, of where Babylon is gone, but Israel has not yet built its temple, which relates back to the previous perek, and that's what's going on over here. At this point in time, from Sukkim Dalet to Vav, we meet that it is on the 23rd of the first month. He is on the river of Chidekel, and he lifts his eyes and he sees a man dressed in linen, the man in white, his loins covered with gold, and his body is like this beryl or aquamarine, his face like lightning, his arms and legs are like polished copper, his voice is like strong of the multitudes of people. So just before we're going further, when did this actually happen? What's the significance of it? So the Mepharshim debate as to, is the first month Nisan, and this is the 23rd of Nisan, or is this, perhaps is the Ibn Ezra says, it can't be Nisan. How could he have, you know, been in a period of mourning for this month if we're going to take the 3 weeks literally? So it must be that it's really the first month measured either from Tishrei or from the king's reign. So there's a little bit of a debate as to the dating of this. What is the River Chidekel? This is in fact the Tigris River. Whenever you start learning your human history, they talk about ancient civilizations. The cradle of civilization always started between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. These are the two central Middle East rivers through which a lot of the major human population and hunter-gatherer tribes began. So the Tigris is one of the central rivers, and it's actually not too far off from Shushan Susa, which we discussed beforehand. Ibn Ezra makes the note that it is like Daniel being on the Chidekel is like Yechezkel being on the Nar Kfar. Why is that? So it might be a throwback to the idea that a prophet can only receive prophecy or a vision in the diaspora when near a body of water, and the Ibn Ezra is making that known. That's why it is that Daniel could receive prophecy. We've noticed a lot of water in the previous descriptions of these rivers. There's the Nahr Udeh, it was the Ulai River we saw beforehand, and now we see the Nahr Hidekel. We move on to the actual prophecy. So he sees this seems to be some sort of spiritual specter. It's obviously a image of great and immense force and power. So what happens? In the next psukim, Zion and Ches, he describes how he alone sees this vision and everybody around him flees. And he describes being very alone and very weakened as he witnesses this vision open up. What's going on? Why is it so terrifying? Who are these others? So Malim quotes Chazal that the others were in fact Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the other prophets who were contemporaries of him, who saw this and but realized that this was such a, we'll call it, supernatural experience. This was above the cognitive function of a regular human being that they fled, and only Daniel could see that. In fact, the Gemara Megillah goes a little further. The Gemara that the Malbim is quoting on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and says that although it is true that Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi were prophets, and Daniel was not considered a prophet according to this Gemara, it is true that he was able to penetrate a vision that they were not able to. And if they were not able to understand this vision or to see this, so why was it that they were so afraid? So the Gemara says a really fascinating thing. It says that Inhu loichazu mazalaihu chazu. They themselves could not see this angel, the specter, but their senses that were attuned to their spiritual specters, meaning their mazal, their spiritual beings, their guardian angels were able to sense that something very forceful and very terrifying was appearing, and they moved away. And the Gemara actually concludes from here, Ravina teaches that a person, Haiman de Mavis, if a person is frightened for no apparent reason, it must be that one's guardian angel, one's mazal, is seeing and noticing something which is terrifying. And what should the Gemara says, what should you do, Matakante? So the Gemara says, Likri Kriyashma. Read Kriyashma. The best thing to do is to read Kriyashma, and if it doesn't work, to distance oneself from the particular area over there. Very, very scary idea, and it seems to be what's happening over here. What actually happens? What is this vision? Psukim attest to Yudalid. We're told that he falls asleep and he lies face down on the ground, and this angel, this being, touches him and raises him up to his knees, and the angel talks to him as Daniel Ish Chamudos, the man of the treasured man, the man of sweetness, and he says to him, he tells him to stand, and Daniel gets onto his feet in terror, and the angel comforts him and says, don't be afraid, because from the day you started fasting and trying to understand Hashem, the Almighty answered your prayer. He describes the angel of Persia standing for 21 days, and then Michael standing and comes to help him, and then has to leave. And he explains that this will happen, what will happen at the end of days. Strange description of here. What is this whole business of 21 days in Persia and so on? So Rav Yosef ben Ichia explains that every nation has a ministering angel. Every nation has a celestial being that is in charge of that nation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu delegates the power and what happens to that nation, specifically to that angel. That angel will call the shots for what's going to happen to that nation. So as we know, when Egypt was about to be destroyed at the Yam Suf, at the Red Sea, their ministering angel at that point in time was being fought and was fighting and was defeated before the actual physical experience of entering and falling into the sea occurred. However, when it comes to Israel, the angel, the guardian angel of Israel, is by the name of Michael, the most powerful of angels, as is described here. And the Michael, however, can be superseded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu micromanages Israel so much, that's why in Mazal the Israel can be, so to speak, you know, superseded for the good and the bad. So what's going on over here is Gabriel, who seems to be the first Malach who's talking to Daniel, explains to him that there are 21 days that Daniel prayed for Israel. Gabriel was able to push off the subjugation to the angel of Persia, to the ministering angel of Persia, which would have meant that subjugation would have been immediate. But Daniel, you managed to stave it off. And in that time, he describes how Michael comes to help Gabriel, and at which point they strike a compromise. So they're being oppressed by the angel of Persia, which means to say that in the celestial realms, Israel is being oppressed by the Persian, we'll call it spiritual persona and being, which is reflected in the physical world as the nation of Israel is going to be under the subjugation of the nation of Persia. But in the celestial realm, a deal is cut in which they could be subjugated to Persia, but Gabriel would be there so that the burden would not be as so heavy as the other exiles before and after it. This is what's being described over here. In fact, the Malbim goes on to explain that he may be able to hold off Persia for a little bit more time, but it won't be forever. And that's why he goes on to give him the vision of the Achris Hayamim, because he's saying there's going to be more harsh things coming down the pike. Rav Sadia Gaon just adds in one interesting, fascinating point, and that is from 21 years from Darius to the Mede until Cyrus prevents the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and the building of the Beis HaMikdash is able to restart and the construction continues. So it's almost as if this is the function of the divine decree is what's going on over here. So Daniel, you may look at this and say, why are all these politicians making bad decisions and not allowing Israel to build the Beis HaMikdash? Why are things not running as they should? But says Rav Sadia Gaon, you should understand that it's because I'm telling you what's going on behind the scenes. I'm telling you that I'm holding off Persia. I'm holding them off. But he's oppressing me. He's putting this power on me. And it's this internal struggle in the metaphysical realm, which is showing you what's happening in the physical and political realm. We close the parak with the psukim tes vov tu chof aleph, in which he describes he is in conversation with this angel, and he places his face in the ground and keeps silent. It sounds that he is in fear, he is in a state of weakness. The image of this man touches him on his lips, and Daniel opens his mouth and he speaks to the spectre in front of him, and he says he no longer has strength to fight. He asks, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu even addressing him if he doesn't have the strength to have a dialogue? The angel again touches him and gives him strength to speak. And he asks Daniel if he knows why he has come, and he explains it is to fight off the angel of Persia. He then tells Daniel that the angel of Greece will soon come, and he talks about how there's this Rashum Bichsav HaEmes. He's going to give him the true decree that no one will be able to help him except Michael, your angel. Kiim Michael Sarachem. What is going on over here? What's Persia, Greece, angels? Well, how's this all working? So the Malam explains that why is he fighting the angel of Persia? He explains he'll be able to hold off Persia. Gabriel, so to speak, the stopgap. He's able to hold back Persia to a certain degree to prevail upon him to have a better treatment. You'll notice that most of the nations, the four nations that Israel was subjugated by, Babylon was pretty horrific, and Greece is going to be very difficult. Rome was terrible. Persia was the best of all the three, and that's because Gabriel says, I'm able to hold them off. I'm able to be in that gap as well to be able to prevail upon them. However, he says he's going to have to take a step backwards when Greece comes in, because he will not be able to stave off Greece when that happens. Why is Michael involved? So Rav Yosef Ibn Yechia explains that what is going on here is a very interesting thing, and that is that Michael is the most powerful of all the angels as the guardian angel of Israel. However, he can only be activated when Israel's interested. Meaning to say that Kehinei Yisrael yesh lahem mazal kasheh b'shamayim. They have a very strong mazal in the heavens. Asher gozer aleha hashpala va'oni v'kasheh yiru es Hashem. When they will fear God, yeshadei d'marachos, he will be able to desolate and demolish all the systems in heaven. Va'al korchom yagbia kinam al ko azulos. And they will be able to be stronger than any other force in the world. V'kasheh yiru darkom. But when they go in the wrong direction, based on their free will and based on their bad choices, Yanichem lemikre upigei hazmanim v'lo yira imam ki ein ra yored milamada rak mazalam goram. At which point, if they decide that they are going to not follow Hashem, they're going to lead evil and indulgent lives, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will leave them to Mazalam, which means to say the power of the ministers of the other nations will be able to supersede the power of Israel. Yes, if they decide to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if they decide, like Daniel, to mourn and to do contrition and repentance, then they can activate Michael, who will protect them and stave off the galus, the exile. But when they deactivate Michael, then they are going to be the fodder and the victim of the other very powerful mazalos of the nations themselves. So this is perhaps a different way of reading political sides. It's a different way of looking at geopolitics, not necessarily about different figures here on Earth, but more about what's really going on in the celestial realms and how we're able to prevail upon that should we choose. So in the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.